beyond my control. The other interesting one I wrote, When It Rains, It Pours, is that the connection, the Gemara connects Tchias with death, with rain, and the things that God controls. That was the other more Lumdish allusion.
You actually thought that?
But death also. What?
You thought that when you were
at it? Yeah, I had that in the back of my mind. But whatever, I'm strange. Okay. That's true. Here's why this sugya gets a little complicated and important and significant. It intersects. This sugya is the intersection of several important topics regarding Gnevim Gzeil. Just wanted to give us that that background. We've been discussing topic number one, the relationship between the various Tashlumei Gneiva. We've spent some time on that, and we're going to wrap that up now. The other two issues that we need to explore further, and which are also very, very important, is the relationship between Gneiving Zela and Mazik. That really comes up in Tavra Vishasya. And looming over all of this is the issue or the subject or the topic of Kinyani Gzeila and how exactly they work. How and when does a Ganav / Gazlan acquire the object Li'inyan what? What kind of Kinyanim exists? How do we compare and contrast it to other Kinyanim? All of these issues, you know, are powered by this more global question. Because one of the ways that we determine when the payment is established is based on this question of kinyan. That's why in my ideal or original vision of the semester, I had us doing this quiz on the Mishnayos and the ninth parak of Bava Kamma, because left the quizzes downstairs. Okay, we'll go out the base medrash way, so that I can hand you the quizzes. Ideally, the ninth parak of Bava Kamma, the Mishnayos there and the Rambams, will supplement our understanding of Kinyani Gzeila. Next week, we are going to work on these issues as they relate to our sugya. And ultimately, this issue is going to be a key issue, really understanding what it means that a ganav or a gazlan has kinyanim on the object. What are the limits of that? How do we compare and contrast it with other realms of competing kinyanim? Things like that. Okay? Very good. So let's just quickly go over and supplement and fill in the picture on the Karen Kane Shaganov, the Shitos, there. And I hope everybody recalls the things we set up last week and the various bigger picture here with the Teshlumei Gneiva and the different Mechayvim of Karen Kepel and Dal Vehei. By the way, before I forget, next week I'm going to give you a take-home assignment. In lieu of a midterm. It's going to be something which will hopefully help you review, but it won't be over burdensome. I'd like to still keep the final cumulative, and I'll explain to you why. So you're like, man, we lost on all fronts. Yeah. We'll figure it out. What I'd like to try to do is give you a subject to research, which will hopefully draw on the stuff that which will draw on the stuff that we've learned, and you know, that'll basically be the assignment, to try to combine some review with some new material, so I can get a sense of A, whether the new material, whether the previous material you guys have assimilated, and B, whether you can then go ahead and apply it in different cases. I will also try to do, I'm also going to do some chazara sheets so that you have I'm telling you, the final also won't be overly burdensome.
Why is it kind of
Because I think it's important that I'm not going to, if I'm not giving a midterm now, I'm not testing you specifically on the material, on all that we've learned. I just want this to be a kind of brief chazara assignment, which will then hopefully not make the final as overwhelming. You understand what I'm saying? Meaning this will help you for the final, but I'm not willing to say this now covers all that we did. And in order to do that, I really got to give a real test. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So don't have no fear. If you guys come to me and say this is completely unfair, this is horrible, I'm reasonable. I'm not going to ignore that. I do think it's important to get a sense of where we are and to do some review and to do an assignment which hopefully you'll find challenging and interesting. But at the same time, I don't want to take the time now, and I don't want to burden you now with stunning material, and memorizing, doing all those things, which you'll have to do at the end of the semester. Okay? All right. But I'm going to give you help for that, too, with Chazara sheets and focusing the Chazara. Okay, let's just quickly talk about and review what we've done. We've seen Shitas Tosos, who basically says that the whole chiddush of Karen Kane Shaganov is not the Karen part, it's the Kapel and Dal Vehei part. We saw the Rush and others who said that the difference between the Kapel and Dal Vehei and Karen is the fact that the Kapel and Dal Vehei are knossos and therefore determined by Bezdin and not at the Maisa Geneva. We noted that in the Rush, it gets a little bit more complicated because he also says Tvichu Mechira is a significant point along the way. And we noted that that's somewhat difficult based on his previously stated Svara of Kefa V'dal V'hei, Mode B'knas Pater, that you're not really Chayev until you actually go to Bezdin. Okay. We also noted the Tosefta and perhaps the Yerushalmi, which group them differently, Karen and Kefil together versus the Dal V'hei, and we noted the statement of Reb Chiya, which perhaps highlighted the fact that there are three different Mechayvim, three different Avos Nezikin, Karen, Kefil, and Dal V'hei. Okay, where we left off, brief Chazar, everybody, we're back. Where we left off was within the Tosos Rid, and we noted two significant Shitos, or Mechudash things in the Tosos Rid. The first, of course, was the difference between Gneva and Gzela, the Karen of Gneva and Gzela. And the Tosfos Rid has this chiddush that Karen Kain Shaganav is different than Kol HaGazlan Mishal Gshas Gzela, in that Gzela has the din of Harei Shalcha Lefanecha, you can just give back the object and you're Mekayim, your Chiyuv Hashavas Gzela. And Kol HaGazlan Mishal Gshas Gzela only applies when the Be'en doesn't exist. Otherwise, you can say Harei Shalchal V'Nacha. That's not true of Gneva. Even if the Be'en is around, you have to give back the same amount that you stole. And we noted that this fits nicely with the language and the difference between Karen Ke'en Shaganav and Kol HaGazlan Mishal Gshas Gzela. We tried to give a svara for it based on the difference between Gneva and Gzela, which we've already discussed throughout the year. Okay, that was the first significant point in the Tosfos Rid.
Gzela starts out with Harei Shalchal Lefanecha.
Correct. Did I say the opposite?
Maybe.
Gzela is Harei Shalchal Lefanecha. Gneva has Karen Kain Shaganav always. I just wanted to point out, yesterday I got a ride home with President Joel, so he said he was leaving at 6 o'clock from Stern. He left at 6:30. So I was hanging out, and I only had my big monster magic book. So I ended up like reading through all the Achronim on Karen Kane Shaganov, even the stuff that I don't normally consult. So I saw one of the Achronim points out here. It's actually Pnei Yeshua, which I should look at always. Pnei Yeshua actually makes a similar kind of diuk as the Tosfos Rid. the Pnei Yoshua. Pnei Yoshua says the following: Devadai lashon kishas hagzela mashma shapir al sha'a shema abda min ha'olam. Devadai lashon. Basically, the context of Pnei Yoshua is, why does the Gemara think, when it brings in the case of Rabba, of Tavra Vishasya, that that's a question on Rav? Why is that a question? Lema pliga de Rav ad Rabba. Why? Why do we think that Rav, who holds Karen Kain Shaganov, argues on Rabba's statement of Tavra Vishasya that you have to pay the greater amount? The Gemara in Bava Metzia, as you guys have seen, says that hashda kagazel, that it's viewed now as if you stole the object. So why don't we say this is ke'ein sheganav? We just redefine the moment of geneva based on the latter destroying of the object through tavra vishasya, right? It's kind of what the Gemara ends up saying, and says no. It goes. We're talking about a case where yikar shavya dalid, so shavya zuz. But the Pnei Yoshua is bothered by why we had this question at all. So he says, mamish. So the Pnei Yoshua argues that the Gemara thinks that Karen Ke'en Shaganav is different than Kol HaGazlan Misham and Kishas HaGzela. Kol HaGazlan Misham and Kishas HaGzela is more flexible. You can redefine that Gzela at a later point and say that that later destroying of the object is now the new critical point of Gzela. But the Karen Ke'en Shaganav, that seems to be fixed at that moment. Again, he doesn't give the svara for it. I think you have to say something like we were saying about the difference between geneva and gzela and the chiv hashavas gezel and the focus on the loss of the victim as opposed to the maisig geneva when it comes to the geneva. But he makes a similar kind of diuk as the Tosas writ, just for your own for thoroughness purposes. Did you have a question, Kama?
Yeah. When we're saying that the Masa is a new Shad Geneva, why are we assuming that that's Geneva and not Gzela? Is it because the original one was Geneva?
Okay, excellent. So we're going to talk about that. Again, that gets us into Tavra Vishasya. That's our next subject. Who does seem to assume that? Besides Pnei Yeshua. Who says that Rabba's din and the Tavra Vishasya can apply to Kefil and Dalad Vehe, which would seem to be saying that it's Geneva, that it's defined as Geneva, not as Gzela, based on the earlier way it was done.
Isn't that the whole subject of the Gemara, that it's not only Gzela, because otherwise...
Okay, that's one point. And the Rambam also paskins that way. We'll see. The Rambam says depending on the circumstance of whether, you did it yourself, or if it was just Mesa, the Rambam says that changes whether or not we go Kishas HaMadah B'din or Kishas HaGneva. So we'll hopefully get to that today. Okay, that was the first issue within the Rid. Just wanted to point out the Pnei Yeshua makes a similar kind of diuk in a different context, a slightly related context. That there's a difference between Karen Ke'en Sheganav and Kol HaGazlan Mishalem and Kishas HaGzela. He doesn't say it in terms of Hareishal Chalafanecha. He says it in terms of the ability to redefine the Shas Gzela / Geneva. One can do that when it comes to Gzela, but not Geneva. Okay? It's a subtle point, but I think significant. Okay, the next issue in the Tosas Rud, which was interesting, which we kind of left off on, was he then has a distinction within Kefil. This was his first day. The second day it says, no, it always goes Kishas HaMadah B'din because it's a Knas, similar to other the Rush and others that we've seen. But the first day it says that if the kefil is be'en, then you do it kishas hamada bedin. If the object is be'en, then the kefil is determined kishas hamada bedin, which ends up just being that you give back the object. This is what.
And what about
Karen? Karen is Kayin Shagana. But if it's not be'en, then it's kidme ikara. So I don't fully have a great explanation for this, or a great svara for this Tosos Rid, for this part of the Tosos Rid. What I do think you have to say is that there are two tracks within Kefil. And as follows. When the object is not around, when the object is not be'en, then Kefil is seen or viewed as a double Karen. It's literally Kefil. A double payment with the Tashlum of Karen. There's also a Tashlum of Kefil. And that's why it goes Kidime Ikara. Because just like the Karen is determined at that moment, so this payment is a package, Kefil, a double of the Karen, so it can't be not determined at the same point and by the same amount as the Karen itself. Whereas if the object is around, then the Kefil is somewhat detached. It's a monetary payment here, and it's somewhat detached from the be'en. It's not that you're giving a double payment, because it's not a double payment. You're returning the object plus a payment. So then the kefil and the Karen don't necessarily have to match up. And you can do the kefil kishas hamad b'din and the Karen kein shaganav. Yeah.
Hey, that's basically saying that when the object is be'en, it's less connected to the original.
Right. It's a little bit ironic because, but it's also, I think, makes sense. If you have the object, then the kefil payment is not as connected to the Karen because the Karen is giving back the object itself. Whereas the kefil is a monetary payment. What?
Isn't the kefil accomplished by giving it back?
So here, it's somewhat ironic because according to Tosos Rid, the kefil ends up being the be'en, as it were, and the Karen ends up being this fixed payment earlier. The Rambam, I think, has it the opposite way. The Rambam has the kefil, the same chiluk of kefil with Tashlum Karen and the kefil with the be'en, but he says it in the more straightforward way. Yes.
But it's not maybe you can understand it that the Karen is like paying for what you stole, meaning the object, and that you can understand being meshad because it's whatever. And kefil is really like is almost like fixing what you did. So when it's be'en, right?
You just give it back.
And that's what kefil is. And if it's not be'en, so then there's no meaning, it doesn't make sense to say that it goes by now. There's no reason to say it's hamada because you're still fixing what happened. You're still, you know, trying to make that part right. Right, into.
Right. So what you have to say, what I think you're saying, what I think you're getting, I think the Rav says this in the Rishimos. I just didn't fully understand it until maybe now the way you're saying it. Mm-hmm. Is that the kefil relates to the obligation to kind of restore or return that which you did. And that there are really two things operating with Geneva. The Karen is a reflection. Within the Tosra, the Karen is working off of what you did at that time at the Maisa Geneva. And the Kefil is more connected with, you know, your requirement to give back the object as it keeps on going, your chiyuv hashava. I'm just not sure. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to do that, Yachava?
Well, with what we've been saying, where we're focusing differently for Gneva and Gazila, so the focus, because if you accomplish Gazila is focused. I always forget this.
Gzela is more in the hefzid mammon of the nigzel. So now we're
your own,
as opposed to the perpetrator's act.
I don't think this works then. I was thinking something like the Karen, like what we call Karen, like it's a principal payment, like that's the main thing. So that's what's stressed more. So to say that the kefel, it's only the kefel, it's only the knas, it's like the less important thing, that becomes parallel to the because the focus of
Pineda
is different. I don't know if it really works logically with
Pineda. Yeah, it's tough. Aviva?
Well, also because, well, there's also a red.
Makes your head hurt, this stuff, huh?
He does draw a distinction between Pineda and Xela, or he doesn't?
He does. But then he kind of makes the Kafel sound like Xela.
So what it sounds like he's doing is he's setting it up such that I think the only.
Then
the only case where you're paying from now, how much is in, is the kefal for Ben, because everything else is going back to Shat HaTzvicha, especially if you say
right.
Dalet Behe goes back to Shat HaTzvicha, which you can
right.
say is also the Shat HaTzvicha. So maybe he's saying that the din in Gneva is always that it should be by Shat HaGzela, but when you have something Ben, you kind of like, you borrow the halacha, it seems, from Zela, because you have the idea of Hashava.
Right.
But ordinarily in Geneva, you don't have to give the object back. You know, you can opt to pay the value even if you have the object. Isn't that the case? I mean, you should give it back,
well,
but you
not
don't
according
have
to.
To
the, not according to the Rambam. Here's, what happened to
We're
this thing?
What we said about that he makes kefel into gazela is exactly, I think, fits that point. That Karen is like a monetary thing that he's making. It's almost like I would compare more to like the zikin, meaning this guy, he has a chazak, like a chiyuv to pay for the value of this object that the guy doesn't have anymore. And
okay.
Kefel is like the chiyuv hashava that he has in gazela, which is why it follows the dinim of her.
Okay, so I just to summarize what we just said. One of the things that we've been pursuing this whole time is within Geneva there are these two things. There's Karen and there's Kefel. And we've been comparing, contrasting Geneva with Gizela. And one of the things we've mentioned throughout, looks like it's been revived. One of the things that we mentioned throughout is, you know, even it's trying to figure out, is there an element of Gneva, one of these two elements, which corresponds to Gzela? And so what you would normally think is that, what's different about Gneva? It's the Kefel. So the Karen of Gneva corresponds to Gzela. That does seem to be what the Rambam holds throughout. The Rambam seems to hold that the Karen of Gneva corresponds to Gzela. So, for example, Gonev min Haganov, where you're putter from Kefel, it's not considered real Gneva, nevertheless, you're still obligated, you're still chayv in something, it ends up kind of defaulting into a Gzela scenario, right? If you can't be chayv Kefel, nevertheless, you're still chayv Karen, you have the Gzela. What's strange about this Tosos Rid, or what's different about it, is that he's projecting the idea that Karen is of Geneva is different than Gzela. And what may be the Geneva equivalent of Gzela is actually the Kefel payment. Which is a little strange because there is no Kefel in Gzela. But that's what he seems to be saying. That the Kefel of Geneva is what actually corresponds to Gzela. Now, the other option is to say none of this corresponds to Gzela, that they're two totally separate parshiot altogether. It's okay. Yes, Aviva.
I didn't get the feeling that he was saying that fundamentally Kefel lines up with Gzela.
Right, he does that originally.
It's by default, because you would like to maybe line up Karen with Xayla. The problem is you always have Karen King Shagana because you always pay the principal from what you stole and what the Baal needs to get back. And therefore, when you have the object, the Ba'an, which is presumably a different value than it was when you originally stole it, all you're left with is Kefel. But I don't think it's a fundamental connection.
Right. So originally he tries to say that it is fundamental, and then that's a good way to put it. But if it looks like Gezel and it, acts like Gezel, then it is Gezel. Though I'm not sure. But just to take a step back for a second. Remember, we've noted that this is a tough. Let's say it a different way. Go back to the beginning of the year. Why is there Mipnei Mahichmir Torah Began of Yoser Mi Begazla, the original Tosefta, right? Why is Gneva more chomer than Gzela? Because when it comes to Gneva, Lo Hishva Kvod Ebel Kvod Kono, yada 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 yada. So according to that, it really sounds more like, Gneva is Gzela plus. You take the other guy's money, but in addition to taking the other guy's money, you've also insulted HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you've displayed these horrible character traits because you're more scared of man than you are of God because you went in stealthily at night and did it. So if we just take that very in a straightforward way and apply that to this question, I think you'd say that Karen and of Gneva and Gzela correspond. They're both based on the fact that you're causing loss. I'm getting to you, Sadi. But the Kefel is where you get the idea of Lo Hishvek Kvod Ebel Kvod Kono. But we have to rethink that and just see maybe that idea of the Tosefta shouldn't be translated as directly that way. You wanted to add something to that?
Yeah. No, I just wanted to say that Gzela, meaning we're just assuming that, like, you would call it like Karen of Gzela and Karen of Gneva. Right? But really that's not true. Right, Gzela only has the din of Hashava. So we have the Hashava and Gzela, we have Karen and Kefel. And if you go back to it and the difference between Gneva and Gzela isn't in what you owe to the person, it's in what you did, it's in your action. So I think it makes sense then to say that when you look back to the action, so he's going to be chayav for the action in a different way. So what's the difference in Gneva and Gzela? The difference is back to the original, it's the Karen of Gneva that's different. And right. Then you could say it makes a lot of sense then to say that for Kefel, right, Kefel fits in with the din of Hashava by Gzela. I mean, because that's where the difference. Meaning, that's the common denominator between them is that you have an obligation to the person.
So what
that
ends
you stole.
Up emerging according to this is that, and I think it definitely can make sense, is that the Karen of Gneva is where we note the contrast between Gneva and Gzela, and Kefel. Even though it's knas or whatever it is, it is somehow more connected to hashava and to the idea of the heshev es hagzela than the Karen of Gneva is, because the Karen of Gneva is actually a payment and that's totally focused on the maisa Gneva. That's what seems to emerge from this Tosas Rit. Question is still, like Aviva was saying, how much is really Kefel and Gzela, is that like a fundamental link, or is that kind of just the default? I think that's a very good question. But what we've clarified now is that even the Karen, or Dafka the Karen of Gneva, is different because Gneva is different than Gzela, because Gneva has more of a focus on the Maisa Gneva and the act of the perpetrator, as opposed to Gzela, which is really just the Veheshavis at Gzela Asher Gazel, very much focused on restoring the loss and the Hefsin Mamon of the victim. So this is a fascinating way of highlighting the issue. It's really kind of a 1A here. One big issue is the relationship between Karen Kefel and Dal Vehei. And the other is, Gneva versus Gzela, which is connected to everything we've done previously. Is this clear to everybody? If it's not, we can discuss this, because this is an important point, and I think some people understand it, and some people do not. Atar, you can understand because you were outside of the room looking for a marker. So let's try to go through it just very quickly. We've been talking all year about the difference between Geneva and Gzela, right? And we've talked about how Kefel seems to be what makes Geneva different, right? In Gzela and in Geneva, we think you have to return the object or pay for what you did. It's the double payment which makes Geneva unique. But what we've noticed now through this Tosos Rid, right, and if that were the case, we kind of would just make it that the Karen of Geneva corresponds, you know, pretty much exactly to Gzela, and it's the Kefa which is very different and makes Geneva unique, and that would be, you know, based on how you did it and the midot and everything else. But what we've seen through this Tosos Rid is that even the Karen, or maybe Dafka the Karen, this is what Sefi was saying, is different than Gzela. That the Karen of Geneva is frozen in time and focused on the specific Ma'ase Geneva and the act of the perpetrator, because that's what the Mechayiv of Geneva is. That's what generates your shame Ganav. That's what makes you a Ganav, is how you did it and the act that you did. And it's therefore within Karen of Geneva and Gzela where we're going to see differences and chilukim, namely that Karen is always Ka'en Shaganav in the words of the Tosfos Rid, and you can't say Hareshel Chalfanecha. It's not about just giving back the object, whereas Gzela is Hareshel Chalfanecha, just give back the object that you took from the victim and focus on the Hesed Mama. What emerges then, which is a little bit counterintuitive, is that for the Tosfos Rid, Kefel of Geneva is maybe more closely related to Gzela than the Karen of Geneva. Yes.
What's also counterintuitive is that Gzela is focused on Hasheva. You think that you want to like actually restore what you stole. You don't want to like. No, I know Harishal Chavanacha is kind of restore what you stole, but you're also not.
But it's not frozen in time at the act. Meaning,
no,
the moment of the action is not so critical. It's the loss that's ongoing, which can reflect the yukur
v'zula. I was saying, you're not trying to restore the loss that you caused. You're just trying to get.
Because we don't care about the loss that you caused at that moment so much, because we don't care about the actions so much as we care about what would this be worth to this guy right now. Meaning if it's chametz and you still chametz before Pesach, you may be able to say Hareshel Chalfanecha on Pesach. You've seen. Well, we noted that according to the Rambam, he does focus on the lokech b'chazaka. But we said really the more dominant motif is the hefsin moment, even within the Rambam. That's why kofir b'pikadon, who doesn't really do an action, is defined as a gazel, because it's more about the monetary loss you cause. We added the kinech, that's a word, that for the Rambam.
The
what?
What?
We added the Yiddish word. We added the spin or the twist that it's really the twist. We added the twist that for the Rambam, even as the Mechayev is the Hefsid Mamon, he nevertheless thinks that how you take it is important because of the confrontation and that kind of demoralizing of the victim. But basically, we had said that Gezel is more focused on the Hefsim Mamon, and that's why it's a much more inclusive category. You can include all these cases of Shlichus Yad and Kofar B'Katon, the cases in Perek Gimel, where you're not doing an actual act. You're not removing it from the Rishut Ba'alim. It's kind of just, you know, you're denying, and therefore you become a Gazla. So, just to summarize, what we've done today is kind of noted this complex interplay between the Karen and the Kefel and Gzela. Maybe for the Tosfos Rid, we shouldn't be looking at Gzela at all. We should just be noting that Karen is definitely different than Gzela. And Kefel, we're not totally sure about. It may be that it ends up being kind of similar to Gzela, but not because you know, it's acting as gzela. Now remember, Tosfos and the majority of the Rishonim will deny all of this. And they say, when you say kol agazon misham gshasa gzela, I know Karen Kane Shaganov, this whole thing is false. This whole thing is out the window. They much more closely see, they see the Karen of Gneva and Gzela as having the exact same dinim. It's all very similar. Yes. Right. So again, that's they may say that relates to the kefil. That explains why there's kefil, but that doesn't redefine or change, you know, the chiyuv keren. The chiyuv keren relates to the hefsed mamon, relates in the same way as gzela. It's the kefil where we locate the difference between the core distinction between keren and kefil. Meaning, you can read that Tosefta in a number of ways. You can deny it and deny its significance. You can minimize its significance and say, you know, yeah, it's just basically, Gneva and Gzela are exactly the same. We're just trying to explain why there's this extra payment. Or you could say, no, Kefil is very different than Karen. Or what the Tosfos Rit seems to be saying is everything about Gneva is different. You know, I'm not sure if he's basing it purely on that Tosefta, but just that's a good way of kind of clarifying the issue. Chava and then Aviva.
Okay. So if I understand this correctly, the Tosfos Rit is basically saying that Rav's statement of Kefil Dal Vehei being the Inchiganov.
Kishasa Madhavadin, you mean?
Kishasa Madhavadin, right. Kishasa Madhavadin only applies if the object is the Inna. If the object is not the Inna, then it goes back to the Inchiganov, right?
Right.
That's what you said?
Right.
But Dal Vehei, there's never a case of Dal Vehei where it's the Inna.
Correct. He's only speaking
he
that kefil, but
that.
The dalad vehei, right? The dalad vehei will be kishasa.
Oh, that's
why.
Right.
What?
So that's
why
he
says that. He mentions
yeah.
that.
Yeah. He relates to that at one point. Aval kitava humachar afilu kefil nami kli mikar mishalim. Vachi bayis lefrushi milsa derav karen kein shagana vafilu isbein tashlumi kefil kisabe ene v'tashlumi dal vehei in tavach kidahashta aval kefil kitavach kidme ikara mishale.
He doesn't say that. He says
that dal vehei if your tavach is kidahashta, which probably means kishas amad bedin mamish. Aval kefil kitavach kidme ikara mishale debaser gneva azlinan velo. Basar tficha. So what he's saying is that Karen and Kefil go together, kishas geneva, like the Tosefta, but then dal vehei, it sounds like it's kishas hamada bedin, not kishas tficha, like the Tosefta had said. Okay? Meaning what he seems to be saying is that the Kefil, when it's no longer the en, the moment, the critical moment is the geneva, not the Hamad Bedin of Bezdin. Okay? Whereas Tvicha Mechira will always be the Shas Hamad Bedin is what generates the obligation. Okay?
Why? But unless you say it's really Shas Tvicha Mechira, what's the difference between Kefil and Dal Vehei and that?
So I think what he would say is that the Kefil relates to the original act. Whereas the original act of Gneva, whereas Dalav Vehei, it's not that we create a new Mechayev at the time of the Tvichu Mechira, it's Bezdin which generates that completely. Okay? That's what you would say. So again, we have a lot of different candidates of different critical times, the Shas Gneva, the Shas Tvichu Mechira, and the Shas Hamad Bedin. And then we have different payments, which different Rishonim say go according to different times along the way. Okay? All right. So this is Aviva, yeah.
Yeah. Going back to this for a second, how we view Kefil.
Yeah.
Where does the fact that it's a knash and that the machayev is beaten fit into the cage when it is not bent. When it is bent, I'm sorry. Like, if we're saying that it's similar to Gzela and you're returning it, because, you know, it sounds like it's not a knas of Beitin, and that it's not dependent on Beitin.
It doesn't sound like at all within the Tosos read that Kefil is dependent on Beitin, because even if it's not Be'en,
then it still goes by Shas.
Then it goes by Shas Geneva. Meaning, for the Tosos Rid, Kefel, the Tosos Rid doesn't have this, the Rush and others' idea of Karen being the Gneva and Kefel Ndal Vahe being the Shas Hamad B'Din, because Imod B'Knas Miftar. He doesn't mention that, he doesn't really get into that at all. For the Tosos Rid, the Kefel is either Kidahashta, because you can, you know, give it back. But it's not that Bezdin is now being mechayiv you it. It's that you kind of give it back. Or if it's destroyed, it goes back kishas geneva.
So Bezdin's not a player. Either.
Correct. So it sounds like, according to the Tosfos Rid, if I were to group them, I would group. There are three different payments because kefil kind of is flexible. But the groupings would be more Karen and Kefel versus Dalet V'Hei, a la the Tosefta, but with the twist that Dalet V'Hei sounds like it's Kishas Amad V'Din, not Kishas Tzvicha. This requires a chart. So the review of this is going to be a chart of every Rishon and what they do, and then, you know, kind of notes on the bottom of the Svara behind it. Okay? This is the perfect kind of sugya to miss shear for a day or two, because you really have no idea what's flying, because you really have to be holding on each one. I'm being sarcastic.
Put the chart on the website.
Yeah. What?
You should put the chart on the website. So
you got it. So we'll do that. So I think the Tosfos Rid here is a fascinating... I showed this Tosfos Rid to Rabbi Kahn. It's like, what? Yeah, it's like... It was very wild. I don't know if he gave it to his students, because I think he just thought it was it. But because of its, you know, because of the fact that it's unique and singular amongst the Rishonim, I think it highlights a number of issues, especially the issue of the relationship between Geneva and Gzela, and how you kind of factor in Karen Kefil, etc. Yes, Shoshana.
How come Gonam Ganav is something?
Okay. That's an excellent question. We are going to discuss it. That may be your assignment. Okay? I think that's it.
Eventually, I'm going to share Yerushi and Elohim and Asher Yashira. That's fine.
What'd you say?
Isn't it just
no, that's why Moda B'Knas is Pater.
Right, so just...
No, Shoshana asked, why is Goni V'Achar Ganav Pater from Kefo?
Especially because if it's about the perpetrator, so then you're a Ganav, so you should be.
Right. So it would seem that there are also formal requirements for the act of Geneva. It has to be taken from Rishut Bailim, and that's what's missing in that case. But I don't want to get into it too much, because that's going to be part of your assignment. Okay. Let me just kind of a couple of other highlights in the Rishonim on Karen Kain Shaganov and the issues that result from it. Okay. The Ri and Rabbeinu Tam have a machlokes regarding the psak of the Gemara. Right, our Gemara on Sambachayim and Aleph ultimately decided that, according to Rav, the case is one where Meikara Shavya Dalit Ulbasof Shavya Zuz. That's where we say Karen Kain Shaganav Tashume Kefel Vitashume Abra Vachamisha Kishas Hamadu Din. Remember, the Tosfos Rid would read that the Karen Kain Shaganav and the Tashume Kefel, if it's Be'en, and the Tashume Abra Vachamisha are Kishas Hamadu Din. If the Kefel's not Be'en, it goes Kain Shaganav as well.
What is he doing? The Gemara?
What?
Like the Gemara itself qualifies this case.
With Tlaim, the Which
and that it's only in what's it called?
One direction?
Yeah. Is that right? Is that?
So why is that a problem for the Tosas Rid?
Nothing, it just seems to be meaning it's its own qualification. It's not the qualification of Ba'in. So does that mean that it's only, let's say it's
within this modification.
Let's say it's not Ba'in. According to Tosas Rid, it's not Ba'in, but you grow, then he would pay, but who's that, then he would pay Kishad Hamad Abedin. Seems, meaning if you then, like, put...
Not clear. No, I don't think so.
So then he's not, accepting. The Gemara in the end concludes, right?
The Gemara in the end says, Kigon Meikar Shavya Dala Vesof Shavya Zuz. So according to the Tosas Rid, let's say the opposite case. Meikar Shavya...
No, in the opposite case, he's okay. In that case, he's not okay. Because in that case, that's when we say Rav would say, right, that Kefal's Kishad Hamad Abedin.
Only if it's Be'en.
You give it back. You pay for, plus you give it back.
No, I'm just saying in one of the cases, so let's say then it's Be'en, and it's, so you want to say it's Be'en and Yukra, so then he would pay Kishad Aganeva, even though it's Be'en?
I'm not sure. That's what I'm not sure about within the Tosas Rid.
Either he ignores the Gemara's qualification, or then
no. I think he's operating within the qualification. I think he's operating within the qualification that it's Dalet to Aleph, that you would only pay Aleph for Kefal and not Dalet if.
But that means that there's a whole other factor working here, and everything we said to try to explain it to the word doesn't really work with this factor, because it's further qualified by a whole other thing. Meaning.
So we have to try to figure it out within Tavra Vashasya. Okay.
And if you say that he has a chiyuv to return it, right, or to return the object, but now we're going to say, but he only has that chiyuv because when it becomes, right, when it's less, meaning when it's less devalued, right? It just then it sounds like it's a whole other issue that of how much.
So I want to look back at the Tosas Rid and see if he relates to that, but I think the Tosas Rid addresses that. Let me look back and we'll discuss it on Monday because it really relates to. The Tavra Shasa case. That's what we're going to do Monday. We're going to read this, reread this Gemara of Rabba of Haiman de Gazal Chavisa de Chamra, and read the parallel Gemara in Bava Metzia and discuss that, discuss all the issues that result from that. What our Gemara does in Samach Vav and Aleph is further add to the confusion when it raises the case of Tle V'Nase Ayil. Right, the Gemara in Tamach Hayam Abayis talks about Ravi Loi, Gun of Tle V'Nase Ayil, Egel V'Nase Shor, Nase Shinu B'Yado Kna'o, and if you're Toveach U'Mocher, it's Shalohu Toveach and Shalohu Mocher. Right, if you steal a what's a tle versus an ayil? A baby yes. Sheep? What's a baby sheep?
A lamb.
A lamb.
Yes, a man.
And a calf, which then becomes a shor. So when that change takes place, that's a shinui. We're going to discuss shinui. We're going to get to all that. And that leads us into all the kinyani gzele issues. We're going to discuss that. The shinui takes place in the shalohu tevech shalohu mocher. Okay. What?
Shalohu tevech shalohu mocher, and therefore.
And therefore, you won't be responsible for dalad vehei because you've acquired the object. Okay.
I'm a technical question.
What'd you say?
Levinasa Ayel. Is that like a year cutoff? Like, is that an objective thing when a
I don't think so. I think it's a year.
Is it a year? Like, think of like carbonyl, so we know the ages of all the animals and carbonyl is
tiny. No, they don't.
So is it a function of age or maturity? I
just want to know if it's a subjective thing where the ganav and the baal could,
The Rambam talks about it like the animal getting bigger, and then there's no, then you're not high for tevachu macher because it's shalohu, right? Tevachu shalohu macher.
Only the
same meaning. No, he says if it gidam. So that doesn't mean that if you stole, I don't think that means if you stole it yesterday. Anything, they're always growing. There has to be some sort of.
I don't know.
Right.
Meaning it could be 12 hours, but the only way to say that is if you actually say that there's an age cutoff, an objective age cutoff, as opposed to a physical maturation. I don't know. We can. Who asked me this? Yeah. We can figure it out. Certainly with Karbanos, you have that. I mean, Tosas talks about that. Maybe when we go in depth through some Chayamibes, will some of the Achronim will relate to it. I don't think the Rishonim discuss it head on. The Tosas mentions the issue of Ayil bin Yom Karo Ayil, but we'll get to it. So the Gemara on Samach Vav though then asks the question and says, okay, whether you hold Shinui Kona or not Shinui Kona, fine, but everyone seems to agree that in Tlev and Asa Ayil, if you're paying Dalad Vehei, that you will pay Kidmei Ikara. Diktani Mishalim Tashlumi Kevel V'Tashlumi Arva Kolamisha Kein Shaganov Lema Te'avi Tiyuf De'Rav Damarav Karen Kein Shaganov Mishalim Tashlumi Kevel V'Tashlumi Dal V'Hei Kishas Hamad V'Din. Bless you. Amarava Tla'im Kidmei Ikara Damim Kishel Achshav. So tla'im kidmei ikara, damim kishel achshav. So Rashi there, in Samach Vav and Aleph, says something remarkable. Tla'im kidmei ikara, klomar ba l'shalem tla'im kidmei ikara sagi, de tle ganav v'tle mishalem. What's so remarkable about that? According to Rashi, let's say you're coming to pay back money. What do you have to pay? The amount of money of four or five tlaim, or the amount of money for four or five elim?
Tlaim.
You think so? What does it mean when he says klomer ba l'shalem tlaim kidmei ikara sagi de tle ganav v'tle mishalem?
Meaning it wouldn't be enough if he was paying the money, right?
That's what it sounds like.
So he has to actually give him back five tlaim?
Or
no, if he's paying in animals, he can pay in tlaim. If he's paying in money, he needs to pay the value of elim.
Right?
Yeah.
Perish hamora ba l'shalem tlaim kidmei ikara sagi tle ganav v'tlaim mishalem. Mashma mitoch perisho, I'm reading from the Tosas Ridan Samach Vav and Aleph. Shim rotz l'shalem damim mishalem demei chamisha shvarim v'arba elim v'eina yachol lihi pater b'demei tlaim v'agalim. V'zeh hadin eino nir b'ene klal v'eina das mekabal shebetlaim yachol liftor atzma v'im rotz l'shalem damim nomar lo tain lo demei elin. V'alo yachol liknos min adam in tlaim. V'lam lo yiptar b'demei tlaim. So, just one agav point. This is a side point. This doesn't relate to our psak completely, but according to Rashi, it would seem, or at least the way the Tosas read is understanding Rashi, that there's a difference when it comes to the ultimate psak of whether or not you're paying with the objects or the animals themselves, or with money. How can we explain that? Yes, Tara.
Similar to what we first said, it's just where we connected Kefels and Karen, or when it was money. Meaning, like, once Karen became money, like, when they're all with Kefel.
Okay. Okay, so that may be significant here too. Yeah. What do you think, Stephanie? Have a thought?
Yeah. And at least from Rashi's point, it seems almost like mean, we would say yes to
the And what about the Tosafot's point? Just give him the money for five tlan, let him buy five tlan. Why do we have to say if you're giving money, you have to give
all of a sudden? No, that's what it seems like, that you really have to pay him for what he has now. But, like, you can't, it's not possible that, you're not going to, say that it's enough for him to get back what he stole. Meaning, if he gives back actually what he stole, so, what are you going to say, there's not, that's almost, the way Rashi puts it, that's almost what it sounds like, meaning he comes to give him tzla'im, so you have to say that's enough, because he stole a tzla, so he's giving back a tzla, right? But really, almost like...
So somehow if you give back the tzla'im, kind of fictionally, from a halachic lens, see that as restoring what you stole. But when you're paying money, you can't access that kind of fictional restoration. You have to give back what it is now. It almost sounds like something like that. Yes, Chava.
Is Rashi saying that that you can accomplish a mitzvah hashava, but if you steal a tzla, you give back a different tzla?
Yeah. Because that tzla is now an aisle.
This isn't Be'en, right?
Is this hashava or is this payment?
So I think for Rashi, what Rashi here is trying to say is that if you give back the animals, that you can somehow access hashava as opposed to just payment.
I thought the whole idea of hashava is that he gets his item back. You can't say that every tzla is exactly the same.
So what you have to say is that it's that's why I was calling it a fictional restoration. It's almost like from a certain viewpoint, we see, what's the difference between one tlan and another tlan? Like the animal activists who go crazy here. But,
someone who trained an animal to do a certain...
Right. So I think that's the word that I think I'm trying to use, is that for Rashi, this is kind of like a fictional restoration when you give back the tlan. It's not actual restoration because it's not giving back the exact thing you stole. But... if you give back time, we kind of see it like that. Whereas if you do dumb him, we don't. That's all just the kind of side point.
Wait, but can you give back the grown eye? That's the Baal's animal. I mean, if you hadn't stolen it, it would still turn into an eye. Yeah.
The problem is you've done dalad v'hei. It's dalad v'hei. You've shechted that animal. Or sold that animal or whatever it is. What?
Yeah.
I think so. That's what we're talking about. Dalad v'hei.
But what if it's just kefel?
If it's just kefel, I don't think, according to Rashi, you can just give back that thing. You got to give back kefel, and so you got to give back. What are you then going to give back? Another? Can you give back an aisle, the aisle, and then a tle? I don't know.
Tle is the
Karen. Well, why would you want to? Because the aisle's worth more.
What?
Because you have to. Because then you could say that.
Right, but there's no chiyuv hashava of the aisle anymore because it's now an aisle. That's the shinui, meaning the shinui has transformed this. You've been kona that. That removes the chiyuv hashava. So that's why you don't have to do that. So you wouldn't have to do that. Yeah.
It makes sense in a way. Okay, if you give back a tzla, every single tzla becomes an aisle.
Right.
So you're giving back the tzla, then it becomes an aisle eventually for the person they're going to give you.
But if he had his old one, it would have been an aisle now.
No, so he hasn't had it. You're giving him this potential money. It's like all I was serving is hashem. You're like restoring, if you're storing a state. Well, if you give back money,
you're giving him
his
time back
and that amount. So therefore, it has to be what he would have, what is going to be.
You're not really.
Okay.
I know, but you're giving him
I don't think. I don't think we can explain Rashi. I think, but it's just kind of interesting. It's a.
You're giving him that you're restoring any on the monetary state, you're in the aisle business now.
So what I think this highlights is that different payments, and this is an important concept throughout Shas, is something that's why I'm taking the time to talk about it, is that there are different ways of looking at payments. Sometimes they're compensation and sometimes they're restoration. And here, Rashi seems to be saying, if you go the restoration track, if you give back tlaim, then you can give back tlaim. But if you give back money, then you're automatically in a compensation track, and the compensation track is dependent on what the object, what it would have been worth currently. You don't always you're not always able to, you don't always see the difference, you don't always isolate restoration versus compensation. But for Rashi, here, the mode of payment and what you pay with, whether it's with the animals or with money, really kind of highlights the distinction between restoring versus compensation. And Atara adds that Rashi makes a lot of sense, that if you restore, that you can somehow restore as it were, as it was, if you give back the tzlaim, because they will eventually become an idol, and you kind of that way do a restoration. But if you're doing compensation for paying money, then you have to compensate the sum
the net loss.
Right.
It's like the difference between tuna and omit it, the, I don't remember how you put it. It's like the difference between
Nilberet and Romedit Leleit, right?
Yeah,
right. The
but that's who it's Tosfot? Like that's the explanation you give, basically, that he has the chance.
Are you talking about Tes Gimel, the later Rosh? Yeah. We're gonna get to that. And where the Shvach of the Gzela gets to. We'll discuss that. That's what we're gonna discuss Monday. Okay, I just wanna try to wrap up Karen Kane Shagunov, so on Monday we can really get to Tabra Vishasya and begin to explore these other two issues. Okay, so that's just an interesting point about Rashi, and the Tosas Rid argues on it. Okay, what the Tosas Rid actually says is also important, but we'll maybe get to that next week. Okay. So let's read this Tosos. Alana, you want to read the Tosos? How's your voice?
Sure. No, I was actually
going to
volunteer.
I thought that.
Okay.
Too much fun here. Cackle?
Yeah.
Got to work on that. Yeah. Tzalayim kidimi kar.
Nero the re, dahaki perisha, the idiot slavanaka isle, a kufusha minis patna, o ifha, lashalim kithal nami, vachin dal behe kidimi karak, lo karak. Uvlisha de Kra Nami Guf Ton Ubakar Niskra in the Pasuk, but there Shina Mina, Shim Ganav Shor Mana, Loyshalim Tata, Hina Gidim, the said Tata, Smashman Tata Guf Hashor. But Mishum Doshon Guf Hashor and his Kara Pasuk, Mishun Haki Amina and Tlan Kidmi Kara. The Apapi Shashas Tvicha Bada Behe, the Komokom, Kmokin, Shas Geneva, Gramalo, Shim In Geneva ain't Tvicha Mokila. About Damim, Shakoi Kram Tugim Beshima Spitzin, Dam Inis Kara Pasuk.
Okay, so let's unpack this a little bit. So according to the Ri, how does he understand? Let's summarize the Ri.
Okay, so he thinks that tlam means two different possibilities, both. You know, either Tlavanessa Isle, or he himself like fanned it or made it get weaker. Right.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be that it goes from a Tle to an Isle. Even Chusha v'Hishmina, etc. Any change in the Guf, right? Any change in the Guf. Doesn't have to be that he did it even. Right. It could be any change in the guf hashor. We freeze kidimei ikara. Everything is frozen kidimei ikara. The only thing that we're talking about that's kishas tvichu mechira is going to be the case of yukr vizula. When market fluctuates, then the guy can't say, you know, I had a hand in this. On a patimna or on a whatever. What's the other one?
Just the same, like, I didn't steal a short, only stole.
Right. I didn't steal a fat one from you, I stole a skinny one from you. All those kinds of changes in the goof of the animal, according to the Ri, are not part of the statement of Karen Kane Shagana of Kevel Dal Vehe Kishasamad Bedin. Tla'im Kedime Ikara, meaning any change in the physical object, in the physical animal, even if it's not a significant name changing difference, calf to shore, or sheep to lamb to sheep, even if it's just a thickening of the animal, that that's frozen kedime ikara. Whereas yukra vizula is kishas hamada bedin. Okay, so that is the Ri's shita. He acknowledges that there's a little bit of a problem with this shita. The afal pi, the first wide line, shal shas tvicha ba dalet vehei. Meaning, think about what he's doing. He's saying that even dalet vehei is determined by meikara, not just in a case where it had a real shinoi, but even in a case where it just fattened up a little bit. Nevertheless, he says, mikomakam kamokin shas geneva garmulo shim ein geneva ein tvicha mechira. That's a very significant line. He seems to be saying that the Geneva has impact even after the original Geneva, so that the Tvichu Mechira is, you know, cast in the light of the, in the shadow of the original Geneva, and that Geneva becomes the Mechayiv even for the Dal Vehei, and the monetary amount is determined then. So for the Ri, the key distinction is between market fluctuation versus change in the animal. If there's a change in the animal, then everything goes Shas Geneva. That's essential. Does it make a difference whether the animal went in the Yukra Vizula? Does it make a difference whether the animal went up in value or down in value for the Ri?
He doesn't distinguish.
Okay, what does Rabbeinu Tam say?
Rabbeinu Tam farish de in chilek bein tzlam de Yukra Vizula. V'hafi perisha tzlam she diber behena breisa d'hainu tzla v'nasa ayel she nishtanu l'mal yusa k'mimi akara.
Okay, so what's the distinction of Tlaim Kamiyakara the Damim Kshel Akshav according to Rabbeinu Tam?
So Tlam, it's really in both cases it goes up in value, Tlav and Asa Ayel, and then only the yogurt part of it. And then Damim is Zola and Shemina Vachisha.
Right. So for Rabbeinu Tam, really the Kefil, the Dal Vehe, Kishas Amanda Bedin, it's not dependent on the reset focus just on the animal, whether there was a change in the animal. If there's a change in the animal, you always go kimikara. If it's yukra vizula, then bain yukra bain zula, you go kidahash the kishas mandav din. For Rabbeinu Tam, the key distinction is whether the object went up in value or down in value. But if it went up in value, if it went down in value, not just based on yukra, not based on yukra vizula, but on it just naturally being hikhish, then you, the ganav pays that lesser amount kishas hamad v'din. However, if it went up in value, yukra, or kichesh v'hishmina, then you're limited, and the ganav doesn't pay kishas hamad v'din, the ganav pays kidme ikara, tla'im kidme ikara.
But she always pays a lower amount?
Right. Okay. So the Ri, I think, is more, on the surface, more logical. The only difficulty with the Ri is that he's grouping, you know, Chusha v'hishmina with Tlev and Asa Ayo. That's what's a little bit of the jump. Meaning he's choosing to group
the natural fattening with the case of Tlev and Asa Ayil as opposed to with the case of Yukra Vizula. But okay, we can understand that. And he explains it. Any change in the Guf HaPara. I, Dalet Vehei, why should that factor in? Because he has a Chiddush of Dalet Vehei that even Dalet Vehei relates back to the original Geneva, Main Geneva, Ain't Tvicha Mechir. But what about Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam says the Ganav, basically his Svara behind this all seems to be that the Ganav is always paying the lesser amount. If the animal goes up in value, then the Ganav only pays Kidmei Ikar. Talayim Kidmei Ikar. If the animal goes down in value, so long as you didn't do it Biadayim, then that Kefil the Dalet Vehei, whether it's Yuk Rizula or Shmeina Vihikhisha, as long as you didn't do it Biadayim, it goes by the lesser amount.
I thought Shemina Mechusha is a case of Biadayim.
So what do I mean?
I mean, like passive, like you didn't feed the animal.
Right, what does he call? No.
Like if you get old, if it
could. Yeah, sometimes
no,
animals
isn't
slow down.
Isn't that like. That's what Rashi said, but.
No, he's saying Shemina Mechusha could even be, as long as you know, Dafka Bechusha Biadayim. He's distinguishing between the earlier Shemena V'Yichisha, and now what he's saying is that if it goes down naturally in value because it's getting a little older or whatever it is, that would be the same as Yukra V'Zula. So why is Rabbeinu Tam saying the Ganav always pays the lesser amount? And the Rambam, by the way, so just to get it straight, we have the Re Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam. The Re says that the key distinction is whether it's a shvach or ganai in the guf habehema, then you go kinemei kara. If it's not, then you go kishas hamadu b'din. Rabbeinu Tam says the key distinction is whether or not it's causing the ganav, harm, or if it's helping out the ganav. And the Rambam kind of splits the two. Le'inyin Yukra Vizula, and that question, he agrees with the Re that Dafka Yukra Vizula, and that Shmena V'Chisha is not the same as Yukra Vizula. So that's Rabbeinu, that's Re-like. But in terms of the other question of the Ganav always paying the lesser amount, he agrees with Rabbeinu Tam. So that's the three way machlokas here about how to understand the final psak of the Gemara of Tolim Kamikar Dam Shalachshav, the Rabbeinu Tam, who says that the key thing is the question of Yukra Vizula versus everything else. But again, the Yukra Vizula goes in both directions, whether it goes up in value or down in value. Rabbeinu Tam, who says Yukra Vizula and Kriyesh VeYishmina, they all go together. But what's key is that it has to be in favor of the Ganav. The Ganav always pays the lesser amount. And the Rambam, who says, yeah, Rabbeinu Tam is right, it's only the lesser amount, but that's only in the case of Yukra Vizula, not in the case of Shmeina V'Hikrisha. Then the Ganav could get... then the case of the... then it always goes kishas hagneva because that's considered different than yukra vizula. Like the Re said, that it's anything in the guf of behema is frozen at the time of the original geneva. Okay, is that clear? Those are the three positions. The Rambam is in geneva aleph yud gimel yud dalid. Just to Ganav Khusha Vishmino, Shmina Vikhisham Sham Tashumi Kevel Tashumi Arbu Khamisha Kishas Hagneva across the board. Ganav Tlev Vinasa Ayel, Egel Vinasa Shur Misham Tashumi Kefel Kishas Hagneva. Tvacho Mikharo Achar Shahigdil Nasa Shinubiodo Kanehu, Vishalo Tovel Shlom Mocher Vaino Misham Tashumi Arbu Khamisha. Ganav Behema Okli, Kayotaban, Mishas Gneva Hayashava Arba, Vakshav Bishas Amadabedin, Shavishnai Misham Karen Kishas Hageneva, v'tashlumi kefal arba v'chamisha k'shasa mad b'din, right? Because it went down in value. But haya shava v'shasa gnei v'shnayim v'shasa mad b'din arba'a im shachar o'machar shavar kliyo abdo mishalim tashlumi kefal arba v'chamisha k'shasa mad b'din because of tavr v'shasya, which we'll talk about next week. V'meisa ha'behemo avada kli me'elav mishalim tashlumi kefal k'shas ha'gneva. You pay the lesser amount a la Rabbeinu Tam. So each one of these positions needs some explanation. The Ri, as we said, seems to just differentiate between any change in the Gufa Behema versus price fluctuation. Price fluctuation, that's something which Rav is talking about. That's Karen Kain Jaganov, Kefal Vidala Behe Kishas Amad Bedin, whether it's Yukra or Azula. Okay, it's fine. I mean, it's not fine for you. And we feel your pain, but we don't have to stop shear necessarily for that. The Rabbeinu Tam says that the kefel is, and the amount of kefel and dal v'hei is somewhat held hostage by the amount it's worth at the Shas HaGneva. If it goes down in value, then fine, we can be mechayev the kefel and the dalav v'hei as per the amount it went down. And the Rambam seems to agree with that, lenyan yukra v'zula, but not lenyan shmeina v'hichisha. Rabbeinu Tam says it across the board, shmeina v'hichisha and yukra v'zula, that you always pay, the ganav always pays the lesser amount. So how are we going to understand that? That's something that exists in the Rambam and in the... And in Rabbeinu Tam, the ganav always pays less. Why should that be? Is that just because we're being nice to him? Does it sound? Is there any? Can we think of any svara of kefel which would explain why the kefel is limited to the highest kefel can go is as much as it was at the Shas HaGneva. If it goes up from there, we don't make you pay the greater amount, the ganav. If it goes down, yeah, then we can make you pay the lesser amount. Right? Both Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam have this idea. Is it odd? Does it strike you as being strange that we would be letting the ganav off the hook here? If we say Karen Kain Shaganav Kefal Dal Vehe Kishas HaMad B'din, so let's stick to that. Are we modifying that statement of kefel dalav v'hei k'shas hamad b'din? Do we have to kind of reassess the relationship between kefel dalav v'hei and keren in light of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam? Remember, we said according to the Rush, kefel dalav v'hei are k'shas hamad b'din because Bezdin generates the chiyuv completely, and so according to that approach, it would make sense. Even if it goes up, what can I do? So what? It's gone up, and that is sometimes for the benefit of the ganav. If it's yukra v'zula, then we'll evaluate it at the lower amount. But if it's zol v'yukra, if it goes up in value, then it'll be to the detriment of the ganav. But the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam say, no, hold on. It's only if it goes down in value that we use the principle of kishas hamad b'din. But if it goes up in value, then we go back to the Karen, to the Kain Shaganov, and say that that's what the Ganav has to pay. That's the Kefil, and that's the Dalav V'hei. Who can explain to me what the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam are doing? Each one in their own way, Rabbeinu Tam across the board, the Rambam, just in the case of price fluctuation.
I don't understand why you would necessarily pay less, but I don't think the Ganav is really good to see.
If you return the object itself, then that's going to be kishan hamad b'din. Like if the price goes down, if the price went down, then you want the room to return the object itself, if possible.
Right. So the Rambam holds in Halacha Yud Beis that a hagneva atzma shibiyat aganav the lo nishtanis choseris lebala bein lefnei yesh bein laachar yesh. The Rambam holds you have to give back if the object is around, you have to give it back.
So then, like, that's your karen and your kefil is working off of that.
Okay. Good. Okay. Good. So what we see from the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam, I think you're taking it one step too far and getting into like the global svar. Let's just come back, you know, one step and get, you know, more into the mechanics, and then we can do the more, you know, broader svara from that. In terms of the mechanics, what it seems like the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam are both doing here is saying that the kefil is somewhat held hostage by the Karen, and that don't say like the Rush that the Kefil is a pure creation of Beis Din. Kefil, you know, can really be generated at the time of the original Geneva, and therefore that will now serve as the maximum amount that the Ganav can pay. Why don't we just say then Kefil is Kishasa Geneva and end it there? Why do we have to look at Yukra Vizula and say that if it goes down in value, then the Ganav gets off and the Dalad Vehei can be even less? So I'm not sure. But I think what it's saying is that it's not... There are really two critical points with Kefil. There's Shas Gneva and Shas Hamad Bedin. But if we would charge you more than the Shas Geneva, then we'd be ignoring the Shas Geneva completely. Unlike when the object goes down in value, where we can then use the Shas Hamad Bedin to determine the exact amount that you have to pay. So it's a little bit strange. Because we seem to be favoring the Ganav here. Fine, you know, we want to suggest that the Kefil is somewhat tethered to the Karen, but if that's the case, then why is it tethered only in one direction? Why does that function as only the maximum and not also as the minimum? That's what needs to be explained within the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. How come we can go and say that Kefil can't exceed the Karen, but it can go down from the Karen? That's the question on Rabbeinu Tam and on the Rambam. So here's what I want to do. On Monday, if we think of a good answer for Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam about why it seems to be just one direction that the Karen impacts, or the Maisa Gneva, the Shasa Gneva impacts the Kefil, we'll talk about that. And then we're going to do Tavra Vishasya, trying to figure out exactly what is the relationship between Gneva, Gzela, and Mazik. And from there, I'm going to give you some more Makaros on Monday as well for the broader issue of Kinyane Gzela. I'll give you the Gemara. The important Gemaras for that is Hababa Machteris on Ayin Beis in Sanhedrin, and Bidam and Kaninu and that stuff, and Ein Shum in the Gemara and Yid Aleph Amin Aleph. Okay? Shir on Monday. Oh, we have to go downstairs, by the way. That's why we're ending 2 minutes early. Shir on Monday. I want to give you a little time to read over the Gemara and then what we're going to do Monday. Hello? What we're going to do Monday is reread our Gemara in Samachay about Tavra V'Shasya, then read the Gemara in Mem Gimel and talk about...